I nearly said good morning, everyone. That would have been entirely inappropriate. Given that it's 20 past 12. Thank you for having me today. It's good to be with you, genuinely. I'm sorry that I can't stay the whole day with you. This is our fun day at Mill End, and I promised I would race back as soon as we get, yeah, so. There you go. Jesus said, the thief, the robber, comes only to steal, kill, and
destroy.
But I have come that they might have life and just a very little bit of it. No! Life to the full, or abundantly, or overflowing, however you want to put it. This is my life verse. That one, John 10:10. It's my life verse. And when David said to me, you know, would you speak on adventurous discipleship? I said, thank you. Perfect. You see, I'm convinced that our life with Jesus is meant to be an adventure. Life to the full. Life to the full. And by that, he didn't mean easy, fun, joyful, etc. Correct? No, surely he didn't. Because he also said, you will have trouble. Do you know that one? You will have trouble. We forget that. When the trouble is very personal, very long, very hard, we forget that. He said, take heart. You will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. What he meant was, it's not too much for you. This is an important word. This life of adventure that he calls us to is full. It is the full life. It is the full life. I'll tell you, that's what I signed up for. 100%. I love what Ruth had to say, where Lisa started us. You know, Jesus didn't save us so we could sit in the church. He didn't save us so that Croxley Green Baptist Church or Millen Baptist or Harefield could be full of people on a Sunday morning. That's not why he did it. He saved us so that we would know the Father as he knows him, and that we would invite others into the same. This is the empowered life of discipleship. This is the adventurous discipleship that we're considering today. Life to the full. It's a huge topic, adventurous discipleship. I think I could probably speak to you for 3 days. Would that be all right? Someone be honest. I saw that. He was, What he really meant was, no. Oh, that's it. Thank you. I'll be late getting back. You're very kind. This is what I love about the British. They won't tell you what they're thinking, but they will be kind. Thank you. None of us want to be here that long. I've chosen to go to drill deep into one particular topic. And in just a moment, I'll explain why there's some slightly ordinary but strange objects on the tables around you. I was thinking, Lord, how do I speak to them in 3/4 of an hour or less about adventurous discipleship and get anywhere practical? They're going to hear 2 other messages today. I'm not sure they need a 3rd teaching. So really, I'm thinking of this as a workshop. Practical. I hope that's all right. And the one thing we're going to do is hear the Lord. We're going to listen. We're going to hear the Lord speak to us today. That's what we're going to do. Because for me, you can't have an adventurous discipleship. You can't have a life to the full if you're not hearing God. Jesus did it all the time. And we are his learners or his apprentices. Because he said that we would be like him. That we would do even greater things than he had done, didn't he? I still don't understand that one, but he did say it. So we're meant to have a relationship with God that somehow resembles his own relationship with God, which means we know and love this book, which is my personal Bible, but we also hear the leading of the Holy Spirit in very present, real terms every day. Well, frequently, if not every single day. I remember one of the first times I heard him speak to me. I can see it now. I was living in Pasadena. I was single, had a couple of roommates, Dave and Elias. I was struggling in that point of my life. Life was hard. And I was trying to get to know God's love for me. Any of you think, I know that God loves me, but I don't know that he loves me? You know, it's a slightly different thing. I know that this book says that he loves me, but I don't experience it. You know, so I was praying to him repeatedly about that. One day, I was off to work, going out the front door of my house, the road, four lanes going by, fairly nearby, and as I was closing the door, why he spoke then, I don't know, but I heard something very clearly. He said, Todd, when you have your own children, you'll understand more of my love for you. Okay. I was single. I had a long time to wait. Now I have four children. I thought maybe I'd give myself every chance to learn. The youngest is 21, the eldest is 27. And I'll tell you this, it's true. I know my Father in heaven loves me. I know it. Because I learned to love my own children. I've heard many other things to him in the meantime, and I hope to encourage you in some way to restore your faith, if it's shaken just a little bit, that God speaks today in all different kinds of ways. Lots and lots of different ways. Psalm 25 says, in you, Lord, I put my trust. Verse 1. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. And guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. And then it goes on. He, the Lord, instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And then verse 14. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. The Lord confides in those who fear him. That's good, isn't it? See, to me, that's more than he just explains the Bible to you. Maybe it needs that. But I think it means he reveals his heart to those who love him, to those who revere him, to those who honor him. One of my favorite stories of hearing comes from 1 Samuel. Can I share it? Do you know the boy Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll just read it for you quickly. Quickly as I can. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the house of the Lord. I love that. Where the ark of God was. That's where Samuel made his bed, close to the presence of God. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel, here I am. Samuel answered. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me, but Eli said, I did not call you, silly boy. Go back and lie down. He didn't say silly boy. He went back and laid down. Again, the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel, this is verse 7, did not yet know the Lord. Interesting. He did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Do you know that one? That's a good one. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there. I'd like to know what that would have been like. Calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And so began Samuel's ministry, almost unparalleled in its significance in the history of God's people. Almost unparalleled. His hearing from God and obeying. His mother dedicated him to the Lord. Hannah, amazing story. But I want to tell you, friends, that just as Samuel learned to hear the word of God, so can we. So can we. So we can learn to discern. So we can get it wrong a few times until we get it right. That's okay. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." You see, I'm convinced that God speaks to us today. In different ways, in all sorts of ways, because Jesus said so. He said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Do you think of yourself as a friend of Jesus? That's John 15. From John 10, 2 through 5, he says, "The sheep listen to his voice," Jesus speaking about himself. "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." He knows your name. "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice." You see, you're made to know his voice. When we come into faith in Christ, when we surrender, we have the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit tunes you to the voice of Jesus. You can't help it. You've got it. You've got the navigational equipment. I love that reference from Ruth. You've got the navigational equipment on board. All you need is the faith to say, "I'm going to hear God. I'm going to hear him." Because you've got it. You've got the Holy Spirit. If you belong to Jesus, you can hear his voice. So, why do we not hear his voice? We'll get into some practice in just a moment. Why do we not hear his voice? I think there are two principal reasons why we don't. The first one is unbelief. We just think we can't. Or we think that God doesn't speak today. I'm sorry, but neither one of those positions are supported by Scripture. Neither one of them. Now, I've heard people in my own church say, "Oh, yes, Todd, yes, yes," because I talk about this frequently. It's one of my favorite topics. "Yes, yes, Todd, but I just don't." I'm sorry, that's unbelief. It's unbelief. Why do you think you're different to the rest of us when Jesus said, "All of my sheep hear my voice"? Now, maybe you don't hear the same as everyone else. Maybe you've got different preferences for, you know, some of us hear him out in nature. Who does that? Just put your hand up. When you're walking around, you sense God's presence in you. See, that's fantastic. How many of you hear him in the Scriptures? You'll be reading, and something will just resonate. It'll just take on a quality, and you go, "Oh, my goodness. I think that was just for me." Or what about in worship? You're singing a hymn, yeah, or a chorus, and you think, "Oh, my goodness. The Lord, he's got something for me today." Or in prayer. Sometimes a set prayer or even an extemporaneous prayer of someone else, you think, "Oh, I think the Lord's," and I heard that person say it, but I think the Lord would say it. You see, it resonates in our hearts. That's the navigational equipment already in us by virtue of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we get to thinking, "Oh, I just don't. It just doesn't happen for me that way." was Jesus lying? Or are you somehow a special case? You see, if you belong to him, I'm sorry, you're not a special, well, you are a special case, but because we all are, but not in the sense of not hearing him. You can hear him. And I would tell you really directly today, please, please agree with him and give him a chance to speak to you. Yes? Just agree and say, Lord, I'm not so sure, but your word says it's true. And I will believe it just because you say it. You see, that's good enough. You don't have to jump with both feet. Sorry, just to make sure you're awake. You don't have to get there with both feet. You can just say, Lord, you said it. If I'm honest, I'm not so sure, but because you said it, I'm going to believe it. That's a good faith. That's a good position of faith, isn't it? You said it, I'm going to take your word for it, so let's give it a try. That's good enough. But I want to challenge you just a little bit more on that. You might need to repent. Because if you have spent years telling yourself, I just don't hear God, that's actually a problem. You have reinforced a lie, not to put it too strongly, in your own thinking that now just about prevents you from hearing from God. You see? It's as if you've unplugged the navigational device and said, that thing doesn't do anything. But by repenting, you can just plug it back in and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for telling myself something that your word says is not true. I'm sorry for that. I'm going to plug it back in and listen again to what you're saying. You see, we go through our whole life repenting. You know that, right? It's not a one-off. You don't just do it once when you surrender your life to Jesus and that's it. We go on doing it because that's how he corrects us. Here's one he spoke to me long after the first word about children and knowing God's love for me. He sent, I was married, we were living in San Diego, and he sent two ordained pastors to come and tell me, people I had never met before, came to me and said, Todd, the Lord has called you into pastoral ministry. What? I didn't want that job, I never saw it coming, but he sent two people to speak to me, two different men that I had never met before. They were both ministers themselves. Never. And I heard that, and it resonated. I thought it was probably right, the second one especially. Couldn't deny it was wrong, but I just didn't want to do it. About 2 years later, we were still living in San Diego. I hadn't responded to the Lord. Guess what I heard from him? I heard this. Todd, you're like the unfaithful servant who buried his talent under a rock. Not the nicest word I've ever heard from the Lord. I've heard some really comforting ones. But you know what? When I heard that, I knew it was the voice of the Lord. Did it condemn me? No. It pointed out the truth. That's what the Lord does. When I heard it, I knew he was right. And today I thank him for it. And look at where I am. I'm doing what he asked me to do. So sometimes the word of the Lord comes and it's a little bit uncomfortable. But he only does it in love. Look, if he tells us to speak the truth in love to each other, which he does, right? You know that one? He speaks the truth to us in love as well. So don't be afraid to hear from him. It will be good news to you, even if the initial receipt is not pleasant. Jesus said more about hearing from him. John 16, he said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, because they knew what he was talking about. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit. And then one of my favorite ones from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and, do you know it? Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially, who knows it? Prophecy. Especially prophecy. Look out for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially prophecy. See, if we're going to be a church that's alive, do we want to be a church that's alive? Do we want to be a church that's relevant? Do we want to be a church where our children and young people think, hey, this place is alive? We need prophecy. We need all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need the voice of God today. We do. I do. My church does. So we know the Spirit says to us, earnestly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So, just before we do a little practice, how does the Lord speak to us? Mentioned a couple already. I believe the Lord speaks to us in coincidences. Has that ever happened to you? Two things happen that are unrelated, and you think, oh my goodness, that could not have happened in the same way that happened. Last summer, I went to sleep, turned off my light, was reading a book. I like to read it now before I go to bed. It was a crime thriller, something like that. That's the sort of stuff I like to read, although sometimes it keeps me awake. And this word came to my mind just as I was going to sleep. It was frontier. I thought, well, that's strange. It wasn't a Western I was reading. Frontier, you know? And I just remember that, okay. And then when I woke up the next morning, it was a Friday morning, the first thing that came into my mind was frontier. I thought, once again, I wasn't thinking that. It just came in before I had a chance to remember it, right? So I'm thinking, oh, that's odd. And during my prayer time, I prayed about that. Lord, are you doing something? Are you saying something to me about frontier? And then my wife and I were driving. Friday's my day off, our day off together. We were driving into Watford, you know the road. I'll tell you where we were. We were just passing the roundabout, the second Croxley roundabout. You know that funny wood house on the left? Do you know the one? That kind of odd, you know, just the one. Really? Well, very, very memorable house, isn't it? So I'm just driving past it, and I said, Danelle, that's my wife. I said, you know, a really weird word came to me last night. I just thought I should mention it. I said, it was frontier. I was driving, but I looked over, and she went, I thought, oh. She said, well, since New Wine, this was in August, we had been at New Wine Summer Festival, she said, since the New Wine, the Lord has been speaking to me about being a pioneer. And I was wondering, listen, if this morning I should tell you that. See, I'm an extrovert. I think with my mouth. My wife is an introvert. She holds things for weeks and waits for the right time to share it. So she was, because it's our day off, she was just that morning thinking, I think I'm going to mention this pioneer word to Todd today. And what did I come out with because the Lord had given it to me the night before? Frontier. Huh. See? Coincidence. The word of the Lord coming to us. We're still trying to figure out what he means by that. We're still at Mill End. We have no idea what it means. But we know the Lord was speaking to us. He got our attention through the coincidence of both getting a word at the same time. He speaks through coincidence. He speaks through symbols. He speaks through stories or films. Who's watched a film or read a book and sensed the Lord teaching you something through it? Okay? Or prompting. Sometimes you just feel like, I've got to do this. Just last week, there was a person I needed to speak to in our church, and I just kept thinking, no, this is not going to be nice. I don't want to do this. I really don't want to, you know what I mean? I kind of let it go through the afternoon, and then finally I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, Todd, do it now. It was a prompting. I just felt like, you know, I had to go and speak to the person. I'm really glad I did. It wasn't easy indeed, but I'm really glad I did. It was good that I did. A burden. Sometimes you feel something for someone else. It's a concern. And that's from the Lord. He's giving it to you to pray for them, to care for them, to support them in mercy, something like that. We mentioned worship, prayer through the scriptures, through someone else's words. What about images or dreams? People here get images or pictures come into your mind, dreams. The Lord still speaks in dreams today. I'll tell you what, he definitely does. So that's just 11 different ways. Okay. Nature would have been 12. So the Lord speaks to us today, and we're going to get some practice. This first way is just for you. It's just for your relationship with the Lord. And here's what I'd like us to do. It's kind of a dream, kind of a prayerful meditation. So what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes as if you're praying, if you don't mind. If you need to leave your eyes open, that's okay. You can just think it. Now, in your mind, imagine yourself in a room that you really like, a really comfortable place. It could be in your house or in the house of someone that you love, but a really comfortable place, a place that you feel at home. Okay. Now, in that place, I want you to imagine Jesus coming to stand next to you. He loves you. He's glad to be with you. He's coming to stand next to you. And now, he's turning you to face a mirror. And as you look, you can see him and you in the mirror. Just think it or imagine it. And now I want you to see yourself as Jesus sees you. Lord, let them see themselves as you see them. Just take that in. Look at your face. Notice all of your body. See how he sees you. Just receive that. His love for you. And now, he's breathing on the mirror. He's fogging over the mirror so you can't see his breath on the mirror. And now he's writing something. It's a word to you. He's writing it on the mirror. Something just for you. And you can read it. What is it he's saying to you? Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for speaking to us today. Enable us to hold on to all that you have for us and to treasure these things in our hearts. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be brave. How many of you saw or heard something you haven't seen or heard before about yourself? Just now, please put your hand up. Anyone? I'm going to pass around these cards in just a little bit. It simply says, ears to hear and eyes to see. I want to help you to write down things that you see or hear, and so you don't forget. I didn't think to bring any pens. Here's one. You can borrow mine. If you have one in your handbag or something close to you, that might be useful. John, you're a good man. I noticed this week that Alistair Cook retired from England cricket. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know nothing about cricket. Just about nothing. Just about enough to say something completely wrong. But I'll tell you this. I was really impressed by the way he went out. Right? 147 in his last inning. Is that right? What I want to tell you is this. You may have gone through much of your Christian life thinking, I don't know that I hear from God. But I think you can still go out hearing the same way that Alistair Cook did his batting. There's no reason why that can't change now. That you can't learn to become someone who really hears from the Lord for your benefit and for others. How many of us know someone who, in their old age, got old and weak and lost strength, but were still praying and still encouraging other people. See? That's us. That's who we want to be. How great would it be when we all get old and people just come to visit us, but they leave encouraged? Right? They leave encouraged. Why? Because you hear the word of the Lord and you tell them. You share a scripture, a prayer, whatever the Lord is giving you. Now that's a legacy for the next generation that we can pass on. That they come to us to encourage us and they leave feeling built up. Isn't that who we want to be? Yes. Say yes. About 5 months ago, a friend of mine from our church said, "Hey, my neighbor's getting rid of some furniture. He says you can have anything you want. My son was getting married, needs bookshelves and all that kind of stuff." So I went over to see what their neighbor has, because he was going to just leave it. He was going to get a skip and just put it all in the skip and get rid of it. So I went over to have a look, and nice chap. We met him, and walking around, he led us out into the garage for some reason. I couldn't remember. And in his garage was this amazing BMW motorbike. I looked at it, I was like, "What?" I said, "How fast does that thing go?" "Oh, about 190 miles per hour." I was like, "That's incredible." Now I'd seen his drive. He had a Porsche out there. You know, he had some money. He liked going fast. But you know what he said to me? I said, "Wow, that's amazing. When did you ride that thing?" He said, "I never ride it. I have never ridden it." For him, it was a collector's item. He was holding on to it like some sort of a trophy investment or something. I don't know. But I want to tell you this. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the presence of God. And many of you here have the gift of prophecy. May you not be like that motorbike that's never ridden. Get on the thing. Well, you know what I mean. Let's be people who use the gifts that God has given us and don't leave them sitting on the side collecting dust as some sort of a trophy. That's not why God gives us gifts, is it? No way. So, two other ways to hear the Lord. Just trying to see if I've gotten anything. You notice that the objects on the tables. What I'd like you to do, please, now, is get up and walk around the tables after I pray for you, and look out for the item that the Holy Spirit highlights to you. Because here's what's going to happen. As you go around the tables, you're going to look, and something's going to look really interesting to you. The Lord's going to highlight something that is part of a message for you. I can't tell you what it is or what he's going to say because I have no idea, but I've seen him do this many times. It's a gentle prompting. It's a help for those of us who aren't hearing so well from God. Do you know what I mean? So you'll see there's a couple images, there's some random objects, but the Lord will highlight one of them. You can feel free to pick it up. If you want to take it back to your seat, you can do that. Please leave it here so I can take it home. A few of these things I actually needed home, okay? So let me just pray and then I'll leave you to walk around. There's a table there, there's one here and on the side there. Father, thank you that we hear you now, and we stand on the truth of what Jesus said, that as his sheep, we hear his voice. And Father, I ask now that you would use one of these items, as you told me and I think you wanted to do, to give us a word for someone else. Someone here, someone that we know, someone in the church, someone in the community, or in our families. Would you highlight one of these items and speak to us, show us what it means for this other person. Because we want to be among those who use the good gifts that you've given us for the encouragement of others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So please be bold. Please upright yourselves from your chairs and circle around the items and see, look for something, and please take it. pick it up, hold it. If you want to take a picture of it with your phone, you can feel free to do that. I'll just give you a few minutes to do this, so thank you. Let me just encourage you not to overthink it. That's what happens very often. We think too much. So the first impression you get, just follow it. Don't criticize it. Don't analyze it. Just think, okay, it might be that the Lord highlights something for you, and then later on, as you sit down, then he tells you why. You see? You don't have to get it all in one moment. So when you see something, just pick it up, hold it, take it back to your chair, and say, Lord, why have you given me this? What does this mean, and who is it for? Now, the first thing I want to say is if you've not heard, if it didn't quite work for you, don't worry. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. Don't be upset by that. But let me do this. Let me encourage you to ask the Lord, say, Lord, why didn't I hear? Just ask him, why didn't I hear? Ask him now or later, why didn't I hear? See, very often, there is noise. There's distraction bouncing around our heads spiritually. You know what I'm saying? And it makes it very hard for us to be still and peaceful. If you're in a still and peaceful place spiritually, then it's easier for you to receive this. So just ask him, Lord, why didn't I? And probably the Holy Spirit will bring something to mind instantly. Maybe it's a conflict or something that you're worried about, something you're concerned about. And when that thing comes to mind, just say, thank you, Lord. Now I give that to you. That person, that situation, I trust you. You can deal with them. I can't deal with them. See, probably it's distracting you because you're out of control. You don't have the answer. He's the answer, whatever it is. So give it back to him. I trust you, Lord. Father, thank you for speaking. Thank you for using such common everyday things to get your word across to us. We want to be those who have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing in our world today for us and for those that we love, for those we don't even yet know, that they would know the Father's love, that they would be saved through Jesus' name. That's what we want. Looking at the time, I need to wrap up, but I want to give us one more opportunity to hear. You can keep those items with you as long as you need to. Well, for 10 more minutes or so. But do take a moment to write down what you think he's shown you, if it was a word on the mirror, if it's how you felt and what you saw in your image of yourself in the mirror. That's really important. You know, as we get older, our looks change, and sometimes we don't like ourselves very much. That really affects our relationship with God because he likes you just the way you are. And he wants us to live in acceptance of who we are today, not who we were 20 years ago. Whatever that may be, receive his love for you today just as you are. The final way that we're going to hear the Lord is to do it corporately. And I'm just going to take a risk. I didn't ask Dave if this was okay. He can always turn the mic off. What I'd like you to do, if you're able to stand, would you stand, please? Or if you prefer to sit, please feel free to do that. Please do stand. And we're just going to wait quietly in the presence of the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us now. I'm going to ask him to give us words, or pictures, words of knowledge, etc., to speak today. And he's going to speak to some of us right here. So don't be afraid, don't worry. Just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's what we say to you now, Father. Speak. Speak, Father, your children are listening. We love you, Father. We want to hear from you. And we're sorry for ways that we thought you don't speak to us today. We're sorry for thinking that. Would you speak to us now, Holy Spirit? Come now in words, in pictures, in prayers, in scriptures. Speak to us for Croxley Green Baptist Church. What's your word to this church? What are you saying to your people today? So now I'd like you just to be brave and speak out. If you had a scripture or a word or a picture came to mind, please would you share it now? We will test it, as the scriptures tell us. We'll hold it. You don't have to be sure that it's exactly right. You can just hear or describe what you've seen or heard. And we'll test it. We'll hold it. So please just speak out. If it's a scripture, feel free to read it.
Is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Don't overthink it. Just give what he's given to you. We'll test it. You don't have to make sure it's right. Just speak out.
Philippians 4, verse 6. Therefore, please do not worry about anything. Just present your request to the Lord.
Very good, thank you.
Oh Lord, he said, I love you, my child.
Thank you, Lord. Speak. Your children are listening. It may be that you've heard something, but you couldn't quite get yourself to say it. That's okay. Don't worry about that. But you might, if you're quite sure about it and the Holy Spirit keeps bringing it back, then share it with John or Lisa or Dave or someone else that you trust. Just act on it, you see? You don't have to get it all right. Your Father loves you. Just do the best with what you've got. That's all he wants. Just do the best you can. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Would you stir up the gift of prophecy in this church? For the sake of the disciples who are here and for the sake of the disciples who are not yet here, Father. Father, breathe the life of your Spirit into this church. Awaken them again. Fill them again. Overflowing. Let them live the abundant life of Christ. Thank you for your great, great love for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you go to sleep tonight, a good thing to say is, speak, Father, your child's listening. Sorry, Dave. Our brains can be too active. The second reason why we don't tend to hear, I really am finished, is that we're too critical. We filter everything out, and he speaks very simply. And sometimes he'll give you a dream. Why? Because your brain is switched off. and you won't overthink it. So just as you're going to sleep, say, speak, Father, I'm listening. I invite you to give me a dream. Show me what you want.